ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So the namas that we have concluded is 262nd nama. So yama was the last nama that we saw. Yama means one who controls, regulates. So in fact without yama, in fact Lord Yama is called as the one who controls the population in this world, because if he is not at work, everybody will be having fighting with each other. So, Yamaha, Niyama, Yama, all these are namas of Vishnu, one who controls, maintains, balances, makes sure that the things don't go out of hand. So, Yamaha. Next shloka, shloka number 18 in the namas, and the nama number 163 onwards, we will chant that. Shloka. Vedyo vaidya sadha yogi dhiraha madhavo madhu atindriyo mahamayo mahottaho mahabalaha. Vedyo vaidya sadha yogi dhiraha madhavo madhu atindriyo mahamayo mahottaho mahabalaha. Vedyaha. Veda means knowledge. So Vedyaha means one who has to be known by those who aspire for moksha. So those people who aspire to attain liberation, what is to be known by which you attain absolute liberation, and that is indicated as Vedyaha. Vedyaha means that which is to be known for liberation. So therefore he says Vedyaha. Veda means knowledge, like I said. Vedyo, Vedyaha, Vedyaha, what is to be known? We know everything except our true nature. So that which is to be known, that which is knowable by that who desire supreme good. The supreme good in the sense, liberation. See, what is the ultimate good for a person? To let the person be free. Freedom is what everybody actually thinks. What everyone wants is freedom, because that is our essential nature. Till we attain that absolute freedom, we will not reach content. So therefore, that attaining Vishnu, attaining the self, is what is going to make us liberate completely. So we are doing everything else thinking that that will make us free. Like, you know, just take the concept of people having decisions being made like, I will work up to 40, 45, I will make few crores, 30 crores, 50 crores, 100 crores, whatever that is, and then I'll be free. This is what they think. Once they make that, then are they really free? They can't be. So, what is that? Knowing which you actually become absolutely liberated, that is what is supremely good for you. You remember in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna surrenders to Lord Krishna, what is the question he is asking? He is saying, I am confused. I don't know what is dharma, what is adharma in this context. So you should tell me for what is good for me. Shreya, Shreya, Sya, Nishitam, Bhuvi, Sanne. Shishya, Seham, Shadi, Mam, Pam, Prapata. So tell me, because I am your disciple. So, this, what do you call the whole idea is, what is good for me? Shastras will only give what is good for you. So shastras always tell you to value freedom above anything else. And when we talk about valuing freedom above anything else, we need to understand what is freedom, what is licentiousness. Licentiousness is doing what I like and not doing what I don't like, whether or not it is something that I am supposed to do. So, if you analyze that, we are actually bound. We are not free. But we will be saying, I am free. I only do what I like. I don't like it. I don't do it. But what is actually happening is, there is something that you ought to do, which is good for you. And your mind is thinking opposite to what you should do. And it makes you do that, not what you actually should do. So what's happening? When you are functioning licentiously, you are actually a slave to your mind. But you think you are free. So therefore, when are you really free? When you become free from the dictates of your mind. When you become free from the dictates of your mind, then you can say, I am free now. Therefore, that freedom you will get only upon realizing your true nature. And that is what we in Saguna Rupa worship as Vishnu. So therefore, Vishnu, one of the names of Lord Vishnu is Vedyaha. We are spending so much time in knowing many things which is absolutely no use to us. That which is to be known, which will give us freedom, we have no time for. So he says, Vedya. And then, Vaidya. Vaidya means that which cures you of all illness. A Vaidya, a doctor, what does he do? He frees you from illness. He identifies the cause of your illness. He diagnoses correctly and then accordingly administers medication. And if you follow that medication, the prescription, you will become free from illness. So, what does a Vaidya do? Vaidya makes you become free from illness. And that's exactly what Vishnu does. Therefore, we call this Vaidya. One who knows all vidyas are branches of knowledge. That is the interpretation given here. Also, meaning, it's only the knowledge that cures you. When you know about your true nature, you become free from all samsara. Otherwise, you will continue thinking that you are liberated. Sorry, thinking that you are limited. You will go on identifying with this body, mind, intellect. And create more and more samsara and suffer. So Vaidyaha. Then Sada Yogi means always united, ever existent, one who is ever experienceable, ever united, eternal yogi. His essence is always manifest. So even when you are experiencing this whole world, the essence is always manifest. It's called Sada Yogi. Always united, always available, always contactable, experienceable, being ever existent. It is our mind that is going into the Nama Rupas of the world. Therefore, that which is always existing, we don't see. But when we purify our personality, then we see it. So, Sada Yogi. Viraha. One who destroys heroic asuras for the protection of dharma. As we grow spiritually, and our awareness increases, automatically the desires reduce. The root cause of all suffering is desire. So he says, Viraha, who destroys the Asura. Asura means, Sura means good, Asura means that is not good. Who, what is that? The personification of desires. See, in Hinduism, desires are personified as Asura. In Islam, it's personified as Shaitan. In Christianity, as Satan. In Buddhism, as Mara. So, Viraha, one who destroys Asuras for the perfection of Dharma. Suddenly in our mind, when we get into desire, that disturbs the whole peace within and the external environment. You know, when somebody becomes too attached, become extremely desirous, they are also disturbing their own peace, internal peace, and neighborhood peace also is disturbed by them. So therefore, that is removed when you realize the self. So Vishnu's another Nama is Viraha. Then Madhava, one who is the Lord or Master of knowledge. Now, as I am reading these shlokas, I think I have already done this. It doesn't matter. We will repeat it. Madhavaha. One who is the Lord or Master of Ma, or knowledge. See, Ma could indicate Lakshmi, wealth. It could indicate Saraswati, could indicate Durga. Any wealth. Knowledge is the best wealth that you can have. Can anyone say why knowledge is considered to be the best wealth compared to the other form of wealth? Anybody?
It's within you and you can never lose it?
Yes, you can never lose it. You can never lose it, it can never be stolen. Understand? All other wealth can be stolen, but this cannot be stolen. That's the wealth that you need to first gain. In fact, that's the wealth that will help you to retain other wealth. And that's the wealth that will help you to maintain sanity when you lose other wealth. What is happening in the world today? In any one of us particularly, why go to the world outside? When we lose, it gets agitated. Why? Because you are not able to maintain the balance. Why? Because that wealth of knowledge you do not have. This is Madhavaha. One is the Lord of Ma or knowledge. Master. The very self is that which enlivens the intellect with which you gain the knowledge. So behind every knowledge there is Atma. Madhuhu. Madhuhu. Honey is the translation. And what did we discuss Madhu as? I think we already did this. That's why I'm asking this question. So Madhu. Why is indicated as Madhu, honey? It says because the Lord gives joy, just like honey. Now you discuss the, you think about the opposite of what takes away your joy. What takes away your happiness? Have you ever thought about it? What is that main thing that takes away your joy? Anybody?
Last time you said ego. Me.
That ego. I. I is that which destroys the happiness. The moment I comes, what is in it for me? The same I, when it is diluted, you think, what can I do for the people? What can I do for a larger cause? So the I gets diluted in the larger cause. When you say what is in it for me, from the bigger circle you are focusing on the smaller circle. The moment your thought comes like that, your happiness gone. So, you want joy, you got to lose the I. The moment you keep the I, your joy is gone. And this small I should be lost in the big I. That big I is Atma, Paramatma, Vishnu, indicated as Madhu. He gives joy. Because that is his original nature. The original natural nature of Atma is bliss. Satchit Ananda Swarupa. So therefore, the more and more you drop the I, the more blissful your life becomes. Why is she talking about me like this? What right she has got to talk about me like this? All that time you think, you, if you think like this, your peace is gone. Instantly gone. If you want peace, then you better drop the small eye. E. Carpenter, Englishman, he said, you've got to clean drop the ego. Not in halves, but fully. Even if there is a small drop of poison in the milk, you can't drink that milk. It's poisonous. So even if there is an ounce of ego, to that extent the joy is gone. Nobody cares for me. You know, I am not invited first. First of all, they don't want to invite me. Just for formality, they invite me, just. You will not give up this me. And you will suffer. And you will keep blaming the world for it. Nobody is capable of making you happy or unhappy. It is in your hands. Your mind. Your ego. If you drop it, you enjoy. Then the bliss of Atma manifests more through you. But if you don't, you hold on to it, you suffer. This is what is happening. That's why we say, just keep gaining knowledge. Keep gaining knowledge. Joy is in letting go. When we grow spiritually, we let go. Jinda nahi chodenge, all these things will not be there. You know, you just let go. It's not that you are passive. Any person who evolves spiritually cannot dominate. That doesn't mean they are weak. Actually, these people who want to dominate, they are weak. In love, you sublimate, you don't dominate. Please understand this. In love, you sublimate, you don't dominate. In ego, you dominate. So last week I said one more thing. Because of ego in your relationship, when the possessiveness comes, enjoyment is gone. My wife, my husband, my children. My, the moment my comes, gone. And you try to possess, you try to dominate. As if they are your possessions and you are the one who possesses. And that's it. All enjoyment gone. All honey from relationship gone. Why? Because of ego. I think I even mentioned that in the book, The Fall of the Human Intellect, Swamiji talks about six reasons for marriage.
Guruji, sorry. We can't hear you well. At least I can't hear you very well.
Can just 1 minute, hold on. Let me switch off this fan. It's making too much noise.
Is that true for everyone else?
Is it peaceful now? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Same.
Samiji, can you hear me?
No, it was the same. I
I can hear you.
Then there is something wrong in your connection.
I can hear very
clearly. I will reconnect. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. No issues. So, you know, when we hear such nama, there is a honey, Madhu, his name is Madhu. What is this Madhu? How he gives Madhu? One is okay, original nature is blissful. So when you realize the self, you'll get this. But just temporarily to find any time when you rose above your personal demands. You know, see, untouchability, for example, it's a sin, it's a crime. But unfortunately, everywhere it's there in some form or the other. Now, last year or the year before, there was this Black Lives Matter, you know, in America, how they, one police officer killed the guy. You know. So, when you are at the receiving end, just put yourself at the receiving end. Somewhere, where you were made to feel that you are low. How is that? You do not want to be in the situation, isn't it? Nobody would like to be in that situation. So, when I comes, when you are demanding, you are actually in that level. The moment you rise above the I, you are free. So, when you go to work, if you think, what can I do rather than what will I get? When in a relationship also, what I can do for the person? We can think like that. Instantly we'll be happy. But if we are going to be constantly establishing our rights and all that time, you know, then you lose your peace. The choice is yours. So that's why he says, Madhu. Vishnu's nama is Madhu. So, emotionally, when you look, you know, there's a song also we sing, Adaram Madhuram Vadanam Madhuram. Like that, there's a beautiful bhajan. Everything is Madhuram. But when you think intellectually, where is this joy? Because all of us are only trying to get that joy. And we are the one by our own actions, attitude, losing that joy. Every second we can be happy. But why are we losing that joy? Because of our ego, which manifests as possessiveness, dominating, you know, rights. The more and more you have such thoughts, the more and more agitated you be. So when you grow spiritually, you become forgiving, you let go, you are more interested in contributing, thinking of what I can do. You are peaceful, happy, blissful. Every second you are blissful. See, a person who is going to work to get something is agitated. The person who is going because he loves going and he goes to give, he is singing, dancing and going to work. Other fellow is just dragging himself to work. So, what is that which is making you sing and dance and go to work? Other one is dragging you to work. The attitude. It's nothing but the attitude. So the more solid your ego is, the less joyful your life will be. In fact, enjoyment is in renunciation. It's in renunciation that you enjoy. Isavaja Upanishad says that. Isavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena chaktena bhujita magrata kachyasvatanam. May you enjoy through renunciation. So the joy is in renunciation. Joy is not in courting, hoarding, dominating. The moment you court, dominate, hoard, you will have so much of weight kept on your head. mentally. So you are constantly afraid, agitated. The joy is gone. So, tera na mera. The more and more spiritually you grow, you start having that attitude. Then, atindriyaha. Beyond the senses and mind. One who is not noble by the senses. Ati indriya. Indriyas are the senses. And the lord of the senses is the mind. So, Atma, the pure consciousness, is beyond the senses, beyond the mind. It is not what you can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. It is not what you can get through your actions. It is not what you can feel. It is not what you can think. It is that which makes you see, hear, smell, taste, touch. Cannot be seen, heard, smelled, tasted, touched. It is that which makes you feel, not what can be felt. It is that which makes you know, cannot be known. It is that which makes you act, cannot be known through any action. Therefore, it is atindriya. It is beyond. So don't try to externally know that. You got to go within. So atindriya nama tells us that you cannot find joy in the external world. You cannot find the supreme good in the external world. You cannot find liberation in the external world. You can only find it when you go beyond your senses. See, animals live just to fulfill their sense appetite. You know. But in their case, nature has given them a certain discipline. Their prefrontal cortex is not developed that much. So they can't think too far ahead. They can't go back too much. So when they're hungry, they eat. But a human being has the capacity. See, in Swami Vivekananda's story, it is said, in his own personal life, after his father passed away, the family had gone through difficult times. So, his mother could only prepare dinner for one person. So, either she eats or Swami Vivekananda eats. So, she will wait for him to come so that she'll say, I have already eaten, you eat. And he will go so late so that he could tell his mother that I already had food outside and came. Now, such capabilities human beings have. Like for example, when two animals, two pet dogs growing in the same house, playing together, you serve them food. And if you serve them food in one plate, on one plate when you serve, they fight with each other. I will eat first, you will eat first. They fight with each other. Whereas a human being can wait after you. After you. So this is what makes us a human being. Isn't it? So what makes us a human being? We have emotions. We are able to control and direct ourselves. So atindriya means what? Highest. He's talking about highest. But when we understand it from our level, for us to understand these things and start practicing and say. So what we do is, if we also live only to fulfill our sense appetite, then what is the difference between us and animals? In fact, animals are better off because they only eat when they're hungry. In our case, we have a little more developed prefrontal cortex. So we will, you know, think of the past and future and then we start doing. That's what we're doing. We are holding like. We hold. See, life has become a mess as far as human beings are concerned. After refrigerator, television and mobile phones. Now, these three are good. They're good inventions. It could be used, but 99% is only being abused. Life has actually become messed up after refrigerator, television and mobile phone. Mobile phone is the worst of all. So, when we go beyond the senses, then we attain Vishnu, who is Madhu, which will give us joy. So, what is the point? That means life is to be lived controlling and directing your senses rather than being controlled and directed by your senses. If you control, direct your senses, then you lead a very happy life. If you are led by your senses, then you lose the happiness. So, Atindriya, Mahamaya. One who can cause illusion even over other great illusions. See, when you go to watch magic show. In fact, one of my colleagues Kosadak, when I was studying in the ashram, he was from Delhi. He told me he had gone to the PC Sarkar's magic show. And they had advertised everywhere, I believe, somewhat more than 30 years ago. They had advertised that, you know, the program starts exactly at 6 o'clock. So, and 6 o'clock sharp, there is going to be a important magic that is going to be performed at 6 o'clock. So you better occupy your seat at 5:30, 5 o'clock itself. And don't miss it. Everybody advertised it. So everybody came to the auditorium where the program was being done. By 5:30, 5 o'clock, they were all there. And it was 6 o'clock, nothing started. 6:15, nobody came. Around 6:30 or so, apparently he came. And said, everybody, oh, you all are thinking that I'm late. Because we had announced that 6:30 we will have, 6 o'clock we'll have the program. Main important magic will be performed at 6 o'clock, I said. So you think I came late? Look at their watches. Everybody looked their watch, I believe, it was 6 o'clock. So he did a mass, hypnosis where everybody were seeing only 6 o'clock, not 6:30. Nobody told me. I remember. So that's what is he doing? The reality is covered. Correct? See, what Vishnu is doing, the truth is covered or is enacting in such a way that the truth is covered by Maya so that he is not seen though he is always there. So Mahamaya. Maya doesn't control him. He controls Maya. So, he is the greatest illusionist. One who can cause illusion even over the other great illusion. All of us are in illusions to believe that we are this limited self, limited personality. Everybody is in one stroke. Covered. They're all covered by these senses. You know, you see, hear, smell, taste. This is the world in which you live. You think that's the reality. But the underlying truth is the reality. So, Mahamaya. Mahotsaha. Mahotsaha. Utsaha. Enthusiasm. Mahotsaha means tremendous enthusiasm. See, child. When you see a child, there is so much of energy. It just cannot sit. It's constantly running around here and there, jumping from there. And you sit down. Everybody is doing like that. They are not able to sit. They can't. There's so much of energy. They're physically exhausted, they sleep. Why is this possible in a child? Why it is not possible in us? We were also children once upon a time. We also had so much of energy. Now that we call ourselves grown up, how come we lose energy? We grow up, we should have more energy, na? How come we are having less energy? What is the reason? Anybody?
We caught up in this world of wants and desires. So all our mental energy is focused there.
What else?
The physical body also takes a toll.
See, worries of the past, anxieties of the future, excitement in the present, they take away our energy. Children have no worries of the past, no anxiety of the future. They live in the present, moment to moment. They are constantly worried about the past, anxiety of the future, what will happen. We are even worried about how many people will attend our funeral. Then you won't know, why are we worried? How many? So there are people not only going to weddings, to funerals, so that then only there will be somebody our funeral. If you go, you genuinely go. Don't go like this. So this madness, why this enthusiasm is going? Worries of the past, anxiety of the future. It's all rooted in desire, no doubt. But what is happening is the mind. So when you can switch off, you have tremendous energy. Child is bubbling with energy. We are not. So he says, one who is ever busy in the work of creation, sustenance and dissolution. The creation, sustenance and dissolution is constantly going. So he is 24/7 working. So the question is, how is it possible that somebody can work so much? It is only possible when you have zero ego and you are absolutely working for some larger cause. Tremendous energy comes. When you go to these movie theaters, they show some documentary of Mahatma Gandhi and all. Then all the documentaries where they are filmed and he's going for some march, this and that. He's walking so fast. All the other younger fellows are trying to catch up with him. He's drinking goat's milk and peanuts and these kind of things he's eating. And he's looking as if he's, not eaten for so many days. But from where is he getting so much of energy? From where? The energy comes because he's working for a larger goal. When you work for just small, petty things, the energy is not there. And there is some kind of obstacle comes. You think, oh, they will take it away. Then what happens? Then your energy goes. In their case, they have no selfishness. There's no interest. They're doing it because it had to be done. It's love that drives them to work. It's not the desire. See, there are two things that can drive you. Either love or desire. And 99% it's desire. It's not love. If love can drive you, you will be always motivated. The desire drives you. Then, if somebody puts a, what do you call, spanner in your work, you get agitated, disturbed. But if it's love, then you say, oh, this challenge is coming. Okay, let me face, how can I do it? How I can tackle this? See, when a player goes to play and if he's being exploited by the opposition because they analyze his weakness and they bowl there, let's say cricket he's playing and they know that in a bouncing delivery he gets out. So they exploit that weakness. He gets out. Now if he's desirous, if he's agitated, what I can do, this way, can I do this? Can I? But if he's having love, say, listen, I have a weakness. So what do? He goes to the coach and gets the weakness sorted out. So love releases energy. Desire saps energy. Remember this. Desire initially gives you energy. Boost. Like fertilizer. The moment you have desire, compared to a fellow who has no desire. A fellow with desire has tremendous energy. But if there is an obstacle, he gets disturbed, agitated, you know, all his energy seems to be draining, he gets shaken, that person with love is there, listen, okay, new challenges. Okay, what is this challenge? How do I face this challenge? And some other challenge, okay, how do I face that challenge? I will learn, I will, you know, improve myself, I will keep improving. So there is tremendous energy. This is the point. The more you identify with a larger goal, there is more energy. When you can next time complain, I have no energy. You understand? This is the thing. As Swamiji, in fact, once was telling us in the class that one businessman took appointment with him and then met him and constantly grumbling, Swamiji, this is not all right, that is not all right. I have no energy, I have no energy, I have no energy. I'm fed up, fed up, fed up. I feel like committing suicide, I feel like committing suicide. I believe he said 3-4 times. So Swamiji said, I got fed up with that guy. And then I said, you are going on saying, I want to commit suicide. He said, why don't you commit suicide? He said, Swamiji, I told you, I have no energy for that also. So he has no energy to commit suicide. See, the point is, when we are in the office, we think about the house. When we are in the house, we think about the office. Just switch off. You are in the office, be there. And be there to give. When you come home, be there. Be there to give. Just like how morning routine is important, evening routine is also very, very important. The last thought with which we go to sleep is the thought with which we wake up. This happens in our life also. The last thought with which we die is the thought that makes us wake up in the next journey. That's why the last thought will be the culmination, resultant of all your thoughts. So accordingly, you better live now in such a way that the last thought will be of sublime, not of ridiculous. So, the whole idea is, you know, that last thought I was talking about is to think of something higher while we are awake. Well, I'm thinking me. You have no energy. So the greater the goal, the greater the enthusiasm. So Mahotsaha, he has no axe to grind. He did not bring up this world. He is not maintaining it. He is not taking it back into him so that it gets rejuvenated and brought back again. Because he has nothing from it, he expects nothing from it except love. Except love. See, nowadays, people go for children because they think in their old age, children will take care of them. You should not think like that. The moment you think like that, everything is gone. So, then they take care in the world. In fact, when you don't think like that, you let them free, they will take care of it. So, the reason I am talking about that is, then they are a product of your love, vis-a-vis a product of your desire. For that I was giving the example. So your work today, your everything today is a product of your desire, not product of love. When it's a product of love, it is tremendous energy. Mahotsaha. So the world is an expression that has come out of Brahman, not because Brahman felt sad. I'm feeling very sad. What do I do? Okay, let me bring out this world. After bringing this world, I became happy. No. This is how we work. I'm agitated. What do I do? I need this. Okay, I'll work. I'll get this. So our work is to get something. Whereas a painter, when he brings out a beautiful painting, he is not even thinking, you know, how much it can be sold for. He has no idea. He has zero idea about it. same as painters. If by chance you had their painting somewhere, you make multi-million dollars. But they died of poverty. They didn't even think about how much it can be sold for, nothing did happen. They just got inspired and painted. Like a nightingale singing here. Like a peacock opening its feather, her feather and dancing. When the peacock opens the feather and dances, it's not dancing for money, name, fame, power, but so much joy with which the peacock is dancing. That's what he's saying. Mahotsa. In nature, everything is like this. Only human being scheming, planning, mere ko kya milenge, isme kya hai, isse wo badhiya hai. You know, constantly we think like this. It will not go because we have been thinking like that for so long. It will not go. Mahotsa. And then Mahabala. The strongest among all who have strength. And the real strength is when you are free from all desires. The moment you have desire, you become weak. Swamiji compares desire with bacteria in Vedanta Tretis book. This virus problem has been going on. I think last year, March, they announced the lockdown. We are already this year over. So 1 year and 10 months. This March is coming, so it will be 2 years. Just virus. You can't see it without the help of a microscope. That virus made us all go insane. So the desire is compared to this virus and bacteria. So what they do is they multiply. 1 becomes 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. Goes on, multiplies. And it knocks you. Even if you are Mike Tyson, maybe Bruce Lee, doesn't matter. If the virus has entered your body, it knocks you. Bacteria knocks you. Strong fellow cannot get up from the bed. Oh my God, giant pain and all. They're talking about this Omicron. No. Full body ache and this and that, completely tired. You may be like Mike Tyson, but you'll be lying on the bed. Baba, please, somebody help me come out of this situation. So he says, like that one desire if you have, one expectation you have, it multiplies, and then knocks you. Completely destroy your joy and peace in life. Whereas he has zero expectation. He's paripurna. And he is paripurna. He's mahal. Mahotsaha mahobala. Next. Mahabuddhir mahaviryo mahashaktir mahadyutihi anirdesha vapushriman ameyatma mahadridrak. Mahabuddhir Mahaviryo Mahashaktir Mahadyutihi Anirdesha Vapushriman Ameyatma Mahadridrak. Mahabuddhihi. Buddhi means wisdom, intellect. Mahabuddhi means what? Great intellect. Great wisdom. Intellect. When you say intellect, what is it? What is knowledge? What is ignorance? Intellect knows. What is good, what is not good, intellect knows. What ought to be done, what ought not to be done, intellect knows. That's the intellect. When you have in the 18th chapter of the Gita, it talks about sattvic intellect, rajasic intellect, tamasic intellect. Tamasic intellect, ulta understanding. It will understand love as attachment, attachment as love. And rajasic intellect confuses as to what is dharma and adharma. And which means the same example of love and attachment. Again, the rajasic intellect will be confused about love. It may think that only when you express it is love. In fact, the deeper the emotion, seldom it is expressed. So rajasic intellect is confused. Sattvic intellect knows what ought to be done, what ought not to be done. Knows what is good, bad, what is to be feared, what ought not to be feared. This is the explanation he gives. So, wisest among the wise means what? What is Satya? What is Mithya? He knows. He is Satya. He is the wisest among the wise. See, the real wise person never gets involved in it. Nothing on earth is worth getting involved in. Whatever it may be. Even this Bhagavad Gita class, don't get involved. If whether you are teaching or listening, it doesn't matter. That doesn't mean you will have a lackadaisical approach, no. Don't get involved. It's not worth it. So Mahabuddhi, Mahavirya, most powerful one, because ignorance is the cause of samsara, which is his great power. The entire samsara is due to the ignorance of our true nature. And that is the maya, which is his inherent power. Therefore, he is called as Mahavirya. He has this weapon called ignorance, with which he can finish off everybody. Mahashakti. One with great resources of strength and skill. See, Shakti, when we say Ikya Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti. Shakti that manifests at the body level is called Kriya Shakti. Shakti that manifests at the mind level is called Ikya Shakti. Shakti that manifests at the intellect level is called Jnana Shakti. Now, it is the Atma, when it enlivens the intellect, it comes out as Jnana Shakti. When it manifests through the mind, it comes out as Ichha Shakti. When it comes out as, when it comes out through the body, it comes out as Kriya Shakti. So the Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, all these are what? The expressions of that real Shakti. That is Mahashakti. What is it? Mahashakti. One with great resources of strength and skill. Then Mahabhyutihi, one who is intensely brilliant both within and without. Intensely brilliant both within and without. Externally, the brilliance is seen. And internally again, within and without, the brilliance is his brilliance, which is what is borrowed and then expressed everywhere. So intensely brilliant within and without. That is called Mahadyuti. Dyuti is the brilliance. It's also called as great, splendor. So, he is self-radiant and has expressed through the sun, the moon and all the other objects. So, inherently, see, for example, if you take sun, sun by itself is not having the splendor. The splendor of the sun is a borrowed splendor from Brahman. Whereas in the case of Brahman, inherently it has the brilliance and it has lent the brilliance to everything in this world. Hence, it's called as Mahadyuti. Anirdeshya Vapuhu. One who cannot be indicated to another, he is this, because he cannot be objectively known. See, Brahman is not an object of comprehension. It is a subjective apprehension. So, Anirdeshya Vapuhu means indefinable form. It's extremely difficult to define the form of Vishnu. Something which is all pervading, Brahmanda. How can you pin it down in a particular form? We conceive a particular form and then say this is Vishnu. You know, see in Tamil Nadu, I don't know what to say, North India, in Tamil Nadu, when they like a particular girl or a lady, they say she's looking so beautiful. So what they do? They compare it. She looks like Mahalakshmi. When did they see Mahalakshmi? They saw Mahalakshmi's calendars. They have paintings of pictures of Mahalakshmi here and there. So they say, look like Mahalakshmi. The assumption is must be the most beautiful. Right? So, anirdesha vahu, that form is inconceivable by this limited intellect. Intellect is limited, finite. And this is infinite. How can infinite have a form and how can you conceive it? How can you define it? You cannot define this or that. The moment you define, you are bringing it to certain limitation. Something which is unlimited. How can you define it if you cannot define it? So, anirdesha vahu. Then, Shriman. One endowed with greatness of every kind. Shriman. In every sense, he is the Lord of all prosperity, all Shri, you know, all kinds of prosperities, Aishwaryam, what do you call, Virya, Thairyam, you know, Ashta Lakshmis are there, all kinds of wealth is with him. When you reach the self, Manobalam, that is another important strength, important wealth. That Manobalam is what we lack during this difficult times. Most of us lack that Manobalam. That's the problem. We find a lot of people losing their lives and this and that. Manobalam. So Shriman, one endowed with greatness of every kind. Ameya. You cannot measure Mahavishnu. Cannot measure the Brahman, immeasurable. So, in terms of time, in terms of space, it's impossible to define Brahman. Ameya. Mahadridrik, one who held up the great mountain Mandara at the time of churning of the milk ocean, and also Govardhana in his Krishna incarnation. Hence, is called as Mahadridrik, bearer of great mountains. That's what it means. If he is bearing the mountains, will he not bear your problems? He is actually bearing your problems. But you think you are doing it. That's where you fall into worries and anxiety. Next verse. Maheshwaso Mahibarta Srinivasas Satam Gatihi Aniruddha Suranando Govindo Govidam Patihi Maheshwaso Mahibarta Srinivasas Satam Gatihi Aniruddha Suranando Govindo Govidam Patihi Maheshwasaha. One equipped with great bhav. No. Vishnu's bhav. When he takes up the bhav, see, when he is very interesting. Maheshwasaha. Now, Tendulkar's battle. Now let's say in the modern world, Tendulkar's bat, Roger Federer's racket, Tiger Woods club. I get the Tiger Woods club. Does it mean that I can go and swing like him and take the ball to the hole in one shot? The bow is there, but the bow gets the strength because of Vishnu who's holding it. The club is in the hands of Tiger Woods. The racket is in the hands of Roger Federer. Bat is in the hands of Tendulkar. Therefore, it is going for four. If I hit, the ball stays there and goes and hits the wicket man. So, Maheshwaha. One equipped with the great bar. He performs magic with the bar. And the bow is only used to establish dharma. Not for any other purpose. See, the power in our hand, sometimes when we get the power, we have more, 99% of the time, we abuse power. If you really are strong, which means you should not become slave to powers. So, Maheshwasa, he has the bow. And the bow is used only to establish dharma, not for any other purpose. And Mahibarta, one who held up the earth submerged in pralaya waters. Mahibarta. He took out the earth, upholder of the earth, and was submerged in the great waters. So, in other words, whenever there is hani, to the dharma, he protects it. Then Sri Nivasaka, one whose chest the goddess Sri resides, eternally she dwells there, in his heart, in his, on his chest. Sri Nivasa. Nivasa means abode. Sri Nivasa, abode of Sri. Sri means goddess Lakshmi, the wealth. Again, the same thing which we have seen before. Satam Gatihi, one who bestows the highest destiny attainable to all holy men. Satam Gatihi means the highest Satgati. What is the Satgati? Realizing the self. Vishnu Pada. See, the Nama, the Vaishnavas wear it on their, you know, forehead. Vishnu's Pada. Ultimately, we have to surrender to the Lord and become one with Him. Satam Gatihi. He bestows the highest destiny when you surrender to Him. Aniruddha. Beautiful Nama. Aniruddha means one who has no obstacles. That's what it means. One who has never been obstructed by anyone or anything from manifesting in various forms. Aniruddha. Absolutely no obstacle. What can create an obstacle? See, when the river water is going towards the ocean, if there is a huge boulder, it will crush the boulder, make it into small pebbles and run towards the ocean. Or if it's a big mountain, it will go around the mountain, it will still go to the ocean. So, Mahavishnu, the pure consciousness, has no obstacle whatsoever. So when you start identifying with the Atma within, all obstacles will be no obstacles. That's what it means. Aniruddha. Beautiful Nama. No obstacle. Nobody can put a stop to your work. See, a person is working with love and dedication. Any amount of obstacles they put, they will not get offended by that. They'll work through that. They'll continue working. So no obstacle can stop that person's work. And I've seen this many times when there is some discussion going on with Swamiji also. And something you want to do, Swamiji, Vinay Voga. Why? Because of this. He says, okay, how to break that obstacle? They are not trying to do anything unethical here. So, but it has to be done. How can it be done? Why? See what can be done. See how it can be solved. So any obstacle will not stop him from doing it. He'll go ahead. He said, find out. I remember when he first told me in 99, when they were asking for somebody to come and teach in Middle East. He said, PLN, are you willing to go? I want you to go. Will you go? I said, Swamiji, if you say, I'll go. He said, okay, send your passport. I said, I don't have a passport. I never applied for a passport till then. What? You didn't have a passport? I said, what nonsense is this? First apply for a passport. And they want you to come immediately. As quickly as possible. You need to apply for your, you know, visa and all that. So you better apply and get the passport quickly. And he was in Chennai that for his lectures. I went to the passport office. They said it will take those days. I think they said 3 months or something like that. Then he's saying you can't wait for more than 15 days. What are you talking about? I said, Swamiji, this is a procedure. He said, don't talk about procedures to me. Go get the passport. How you will get, I don't know. And he said, how the difficulties he faced in certain work, how he did this, that, went and sat down. All those kind of examples he was giving. So then I went and met the head in the passport office. He said, sir, I understand that you are, required there. So you said you will submit a letter from them. All that is fine. With that letter, I will give you a passport for 1 year. Validity. You can travel. In the meantime, the police inquiry, everything will happen. And when the police inquiry comes to us, positive report comes, we will send it to the embassy there. You can get your passport again in Dubai for 10 years passport. So I came back and told Swami. He said, nothing doing. You get the 10 years passport here. After you land there, something happens, then you will have to come back. No. fifth is here. And I said, what do I do? So he said, okay, apply and try to get the police report as quickly as possible. So then I went to the police officer, spoke to him, did. The long and short of it, I'm just giving this story, is I got the passport. I don't remember now, maybe within a month. And then I sent it to them. In 2 months' time, I had to go to Middle East. So what I'm trying to say in this context of Aniruddha is, any obstacles immediately, any meeting in the office, if you see all negative. Hoga nahi. Swami says, we are having this meeting to see how kar sakte. Not hoga nahi. Hoga nahi, fellows, get out. So find solution, we are here. We are not here to find problems. Nahi hoga. So, Aniruddha. Surananda. Sura means five devas, good people. Asura, Sura. Sura means devas. Surananda. So, those who are following dharma, is ananda for those who are obviously not following dharma, he'll destroy them. So Surananda, one who bestows joy on all divinities. Divine being, that's what it means. Govindaha. Govinda, the word gau is interpreted as birds. So one who pervades all words, all sounds. The sound is the manifestation of silence. The silence pervades all sounds. It's that which gives the power to those, the dvani. The dvani comes from within. He says, therefore, he just call him as Govinda. And then, Govidam Patihi. One who knows them is Govinda. Means the words. He who is the master of words is indicated by this name. See, one who is the master of words, communication, knowledge. Words only express the truth and it cannot express fully. Words cannot express fully. So, Govidam Patihi, one who is the master of the words, then he says Govidam Patihi. So, the Lord of the words and the Lord of the wise people who are full of words. He is the Lord of those that excel in speech. That's the explanation Adi Shankara gives. One who is the Lord of those who excel in speech. So, some people are able to speak very well. How? Because they have that clarity. See, whether it is painting or writing poetry, you need a lot of observation. Otherwise, it's not possible. Even when you have to deliver a speech, you conduct a class, it's a lot of observation that helps you to connect things and express. So, Govidam Pati, master of all those who excel in speech. We will stop with this 188 Nama. We will continue next week.
ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
See you next week.